Well, we consider this morning from the book of Matthew. Be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Matthew 7, 1 to 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look at a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, whether you have grown up in the church, grown up in the Bible Belt, or even grown up in the most secular area of the country, you're probably familiar with this passage. In some way, shape, or form, you may have heard it, people have quoted it, and really it's become something of a Christian cliche, where many don't really fully understand what it is that Jesus is saying here. But what he is saying is very practical to us, very practical to us as Christians. And so we want to consider this text this morning by looking at three points. First, the command. Second, the warning. And third, the call. This particular text comes to us in the section of Matthew which contains the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus isn't just giving us timeless principles to live by in the Sermon on the Mount. He's really expounding on the life of those who belong to His kingdom. What He's saying is, if you trust in Me as your Lord and Savior, then this pertains to your gratitude. This pertains to the way you are to respond to the grace that has been given to you. And this is kingdom life that Jesus is talking about here. He's dealing with how we are to live as His people within His kingdom. Specifically in our passage, Jesus is speaking on temptations. He has moved from speaking on temptations, that personal temptations, the kind of temptations that we are prone to have within ourselves, to personal relational temptations, the kind of temptations that we would have in relation to others. And so He says, judge not that ye not be judged. Now, although this may seem straightforward, Jesus says, don't judge. It's important that we fully understand what He means by this. For many today, this text, as I've already said, is greatly misunderstood. And so we want to begin by asking, what is the command that Jesus is giving here? Well, Jesus is not saying, don't judge. We should note that from the beginning. He's not saying do not judge. He's not condemning making a judgment. If you look down at verse 6, we'll see some interesting comments that Jesus makes. For some, these are very harsh words, but however you feel about that, what we find here is that Jesus calls us to make a judgment in verse 6. Notice what He says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. You see, when we combine verses 1 to 5 with verses 6, what Jesus is presenting is really a proper and balanced approach to making a judgment. On the one end of the spectrum, to those who say, don't judge at all, Jesus speaks with the words of verse 6. But then, on the other end of the spectrum, to those who would make self-righteous judgments, Jesus gives us verses 1 to 5. So here, Jesus is not saying, don't judge. Now, in verse 5, 1 through 5, He's dealing with that other end of the spectrum, dealing with the kind of self-righteous, hypocritical judgment that we are prone to do sometimes. A good example of this, a good example of the kind of judgmental attitude was seen in the Pharisees. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but do what, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Some harsh words that Jesus speaks of the Pharisees, and I pray that none of these words could ever be applied to us here this morning. I pray that we're not the kind of people who are concerned with how we look in the eyes of men more than how we look in the eyes of the Lord. And just in case you maybe this morning believe that you are above self-righteousness, well, I point you to King David. David, a man who at one point said, "Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." A man who was described as being a man after God's own heart. And yet he wasn't above making hypocritical, self-righteous judgments. You see, if you remember in 2 Samuel 12, we're given the story of Nathan confronting King David, confronting him on his sin with Bathsheba. It says this, "And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in a certain city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. He used to eat off his morsels and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one from his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' Then Nathan says to David, 'You are the man.'" Now, David didn't really make a judgment because the story was hypothetical. But really what this did was it exposed the heart of David. And hopefully, maybe this morning, this text before us exposes our own heart. Because we are capable, like David, of making self-righteous, judgmental, hypocritical judgment. And so Jesus says, "Judge not that ye not be judged." You see, although we're called to make judgments, we're called to be ever so careful when we do so. Careful that we're not judging self-righteously or hypocritically. And to help us be more mindful of this, Jesus adds a warning on top of the command. And that brings us to our second point, the warning, verse 2. "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now some take this warning to say that self-righteous people or self-righteous judgment invites the same kind of judgment back upon a person. Now that might be true. Self-righteous people oftentimes kind of draw a self-righteous people to them. But although that might be true, that's really not what Jesus is talking about here. What Jesus is referring to is the judgment of God Himself. You see, the kind of judgment we apply to others, God Himself will apply to us. Jesus is highlighting that whatever degree, whatever measure, standard of judgment that we apply to others, that will be applied to us. And that should be a scary thought, because I doubt any of us would want to live with that judgment hanging over their head. If we're honest, we have to admit we can be quite harsh when it comes to judging others. And so this is a grave warning to us this morning. Be careful when you judge. And part of being careful is realizing sin's ability to confuse and cloud our very judgments. And that's why Jesus refers here to the famous and often quoted illustration of the speck and the plank. Verse 3, why do you see the plank that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the plank that is in your own eye? Jesus presents here the picture of someone who fixes their gaze on something in someone else, while not noticing the significant sin in their own life. Now, this doesn't mean that in every case a person passing judgment is worse or a worse sinner than the one he criticizes. Rather, what Jesus is alluding to here is what we find wrong in our brothers and sisters is often very small in comparison to our own sin before God, before a righteous and holy God. You see, the point here isn't to compare our sins with the sin of others, as if some of us had sins that were just specks, while others had sins that were logs, and those with logs should never call to account those with specks. That would really miss the point altogether. When we compare our sins, often our sins always seem like specks, and others always seem like logs. That's just the nature of sin. It blinds us. It's deceptive, and it deceives us into believing that we aren't that bad. But when the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitfully wicked, it isn't joking. Here's the point. Self-righteous, hypocritical people are blind to their own sin. And yet they still believe that they can play the role of a spiritual optometrist and call their brother or sister to account. And that's not just wrong, but it's really ridiculous. And so Jesus goes on here in verse 4, how can you say, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your eye. This is one of those statements that really just has built into it a kind of absurdity. It's absurd. Now, of course, we're all familiar with this statement that Jesus makes, and so it's easy to just kind of miss the reality of what Jesus is saying here. It's important that we slow down and really, really think through what Jesus is saying. Jesus's illustration certainly comes with some exaggeration. It's impossible for someone to have a plank or a log in their eye. He's using here what is called hyperbole. It's a device of exaggerating in order to get your point across. And it certainly works in this example here. Have you ever had something in your eye? Anything. Maybe something small like what Jesus is speaking of here. Maybe just an eyelash. Or even smaller, just a little speck. A little piece of sawdust. Well, if you have, then you know that you're nearly blind when that thing is in your eye. And then, of course, there are times where we get things a little bit bigger than those specks in our eyes. And what does it do? It disables us. We're not just blind, but we're disabled. Well, now imagine something even bigger than that. Think of one of those little gnats. Maybe it was an evening that you're out. If you think those little gnats that kind of seem to do a nosedive right into your eye, and it not only frustrates you, but you just can't see. You just begin to grope around in the dark. Now think of something the size of a log. Of a log in your eye. Again, it's absurd for anyone to have anything in their eye and yet try to take something out of the eye of someone else. Whether it's the size of a plank or the size of a bug or the size of a speck of sawdust. You see, if we as Christians walk around with a kind of self-righteous attitude, then we have no business calling our brothers and sisters to account. To do so would be just foolish. It would be like trying to take the speck out of someone else's eye while having a log in your eye. But here's the kicker. We all have spiritual logs in our eyes. Jesus isn't calling us here to compare our sins to others in order to first determine whether we can call a brother or sister to account. But if he isn't, what is he calling us to do here? Or another way of asking this is, how do we who are sinful, how do we call another brother or sister to account? Because let's face it, as I said, we are all sinful. We all have spiritual logs in our eyes. Well, in order to answer that, we turn to our last point, the call. The call that Jesus gives. So far, we've seen that Jesus is commanding us not to judge self-righteously or hypocritically. And to emphasize, he gives us a warning. To do so only invites judgment upon ourselves. Well, the answer comes in verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus is calling us here to deal with our logs. He's calling us to deal with our sin. Now, the first thing we should note here is that this doesn't mean that we have to be without sin in order to call a brother or sister to account. If you remember the book of 1 Corinthians, there Paul calls the church on a number of sinful issues. The church was schismatic. They trusted in the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God. There were fights specifically over the Lord's Supper, and many other things. And yet Paul calls this church to exercise church discipline upon an immoral brother. Paul calls them to judge that man. There was no way that Paul could call that church to do so if first it was required that they be without sin. And so what Jesus is calling us to do here is to take responsibility for our sin, to realize the depth of our sin. Again, if you think that you're not that bad of a person, then I strongly, strongly exhort you this morning to never call a brother or sister to account. You're just not in that position to do so. We have to first acknowledge our own sin in all of its ugliness, all of its despicableness, all of its offensiveness before God, if we're going to call a brother or sister to account. And here's where this passage gets really, really practical. Confronting a brother or sister on an issue requires great humility. It requires that we first be broken and contrite over our own sin. It requires that we dwell and meditate upon the gospel. And that reminds us that it was only Christ who could deal with our sin. We couldn't. We couldn't pay the penalty of our sin. We needed another to go before us. And that truth should squash, should obliterate, should demolish any kind of self-righteous spirit that is in us. So that when we confront a brother or sister, we don't come to them as judge, but we come alongside them as fellow sinners, as those who acknowledge our sin and our need for a Savior. And just as when we confess our sin before God and seek restoration with Him, that's really the point. That's really the heart of why we call them to account. It's restoration. It's to restore the fellowship that they had with God and the fellowship that they had with us. And that's exactly what Paul says in Galatians 6. He says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." The gentleness that Paul refers to here comes from a heart that first knows its only hope is found in Jesus. So often when someone sins against us, we're so eager for justice that we, in the midst of the process, we forget all about our own sin and we miss the point entirely. And this doesn't just apply to our relationship with Christians, it applies to our relationship with people out in the world. So often when we speak of the world and the sins of the world, we speak in terms of having things all figured out. And we can sound pretty self-righteous when we do so. And when we do that, we're only fooling ourselves. When we do that, we fail to realize that the only difference between us and the world is the grace of God. Grace that really has nothing to do with us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. One place that this really applies is in the area of homosexuality. Today, the church loves to condemn homosexuality. And rightly so, it's a sin that should be condemned. But in the midst of condemning homosexuality, if we speak as if we are above that sin, if we speak as if we don't do similar things, then we're acting like blind, hypocritical, self-righteous people. Because whether it's homosexuality, heterosexuality, whether it's lusting over a woman or dressing provocative, each of those matters, each of those issues are sinful and they're offensive before God. And each of them would require that Christ pay the penalty for them. If you want to think about your sin, think about your sin in those terms. Think about what it required of Christ. You see, here's the bottom line. A hypocritical, self-righteous Christian is really a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. The very foundation of being a Christian means that we've already recognized our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. That's Christianity 101. And that's why the Heidelberg Question and Answer 2 speaks of. It says, how many things are necessary for you to know that in this comfort, the comfort that it refers to in Question and Answer 1, that in this comfort you may live and die happily. And the very first answer is the greatness of our sin and misery. Do you know that greatness of your sin and misery this morning? Jesus says, take the log out of your eye. Do you know how great a debt daily we build against ourselves? Do we realize the only reason we have received grace is because of what Jesus has done for us? And that gives us great reason to never judge a brother or sister harshly, to never judge others self-righteously. God didn't judge us that way. He didn't judge us harshly. He's patient. He's gracious. He's given us kindness, mercy, which leads us to repentance, leads us to turn to our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, that's the goal of exercising judgment. It's not to condemn, it's to restore, to call a brother and sister back into fellowship with God and into the fellowship of other believers. And that should be the heart of our concern, the heart of our concern for others when we call them to account. I'll close with this. Paul says in the beginning of Romans 2, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? My prayer for us this morning is that we realize the richness of God's kindness, the forbearance and the patience of God, that in Christ we might never be the kind of people who self-righteously or hypocritically judge others. Let's pray. Lord, we are again this morning reminded of your grace to us in Jesus Christ and how that should change everything for us. Lord, we acknowledge that we can be self-righteous people. We can be judgmental people. But we thank you that you were not the God who judged us in that way. You extended mercy and grace to us. We pray and ask that you would continue to use that grace in our lives to shape and mold our relationships with each other and with others, Lord. Make us to be people who are quick to be gracious, quick to be kind, quick to be patient with others. All because of the wonderful grace that was given to us in Jesus. We thank you for His life, His death, His resurrection, Lord, His work on our behalf. We praise you this morning for all of this. We pray it in His name. Amen.